A romance by Sibelius. Here's Romance in F, Opus 78, number 2, played by the cellist Truls Merk and the pianist Jan Liszewski, ending this evening's Radio 3 in Concert, which was presented by Ian Skelly. Now a look ahead to tomorrow evening's concert.
Prepare for a night of musical fireworks with the country's most brilliant young performers. The National Youth Orchestra of Great Britain, known for their electrifying live performances, are joined by conductor Christian Järvi for a concert of fire-inspired works. From the American composer Michael Dougherty's pulsating violin concerto to a duo of works by Stravinsky, including his fairy tale masterpiece, The Firebird. Don't miss the National Youth Orchestra in concert. Tomorrow evening at 7:30 here on BBC Radio 3.
Well, back to this evening, and after the music making from the Verbier Festival that we've just heard, at 10:30 we'll be visiting the Menuhin Festival in Gstaad for concertos by Vivaldi. That's in early music late at 10:30. Then we have music by Miklós Rozsa and Sibelius from the BBC Philharmonic at 11:30. This is BBC Radio 3, Sunday night, and it's coming up to 9:02. Time now for this week's Drama on 3, Everyday Time Machines. It's by the award-winning writer Al Smith, who introduces the play himself.
Everyday Time Machines has three roots. The first is in J.B. Priestley's Time in the Conways, which was broadcast last weekend. There's a line in that play that leapt out at me. There's a great devil in the universe, and we call it time. One of his characters, Kay, has a kind of supernatural awareness of the mechanics of the story she's in. And so I've borrowed that and have played around with treating narrative as a kind of time machine. Priestley's play led me to think about time from a physical point of view. Particle smashers, like the Large Hadron Collider, serve to force collisions between particles in an attempt to recreate the energies present in the very first second after the Big Bang. It strikes me that, in a way, those machines are time machines too, of a sort. There's also a personal root in this play. I have a friend whose father died when he was a baby. When he turned 18, my friend went to university to read classics just as his father had, and his mother suggested that, since the core classical texts haven't changed for thousands of years, he might use his father's books rather than buying them new. My friend told me a story of how he was sitting in his college library reading his father's copy of Homer, when he had an idea that he wished to write down, but when he turned the page, he found the very same thought written down in the margin by his father, some 40 years earlier. Of course, memories can't be inherited, but it got me to thinking that perhaps there are ways to rethink what time machines might be. So in this piece, I hope that there are three time machines. The first's in narrative structure, the second's in physics, the third's in flesh and blood.
Hello?
Michael? Michael?
Harry? You're back.
What time is it there?
4 a.m.
I woke you.
No, it's okay. Are you all right?
Sam's dead.
What?
Samantha's dead. Samantha's dead. That's what I'm calling to say. Nothing else.
How?
She came off the road. On the way down from the lake.
When?
This evening.
Christ! Are you all right?
Thank you. And you are?
Wishaw, sir. Michael Wishaw.
School?
Sherborne.
Ah, my alma mater.
Yes, sir. I won the Grimshaw Prize for Science.
Oh, there's a prize in my honour.
Yes.
And how about you?
My name's Harry Weller.
Place that brogue for me.
Paisley, sir. I went to Paisley Grammar.
Not my alma mater. So, Weller and Wishaw. Rather a ring, wouldn't you say? I understand neither of you actually applied for physics.
I applied for chemistry, but didn't take to it.
And I was in for medicine.
But?
Discovered I didn't like the sight of blood.
Either of you have any physics at all?
Just mathematics.
Same.
I hope both of you would consider yourselves to be self-sufficient. I travel a great deal, and so will not be able to supervise you at all times. What I will need is an assistant. Someone to set up my notes from lecture to lecture. There would be a lot of travel.
I'd like to do that, sir.
As would I. I'd be very happy to do that.
I'm familiar with French and German. I'm sure that would come in useful.
I grew up above a Greek restaurant, so if you go there...
I'm not interested in foreign languages, chaps. What I need is an aide who can grasp the physics and challenge me on the road. But since we don't know which one of you that is, I'll set you a riddle, the answer to which I would like tomorrow.
Of course.
You're in a room. There are no windows. Upon the wall of this room are three electric switches. You're told that these switches correspond to three light bulbs hanging in another room which you cannot see, and that those three light bulbs are currently switched off. Once you leave the room with the switches, you will walk into the room with the light bulbs, but you cannot return. The question, boys. How many of the light switches can you correctly associate with the light bulbs? The student who gives me the correct answer will travel as my assistant. The other will study here in Oxford and correspond with me by post. How's that?
Very well.
Fine.
Answers tomorrow. Good day.
Thank you, sir.
Good day.
I heard Grimshaw was odd, but I certainly wasn't expecting that.
Look, I just wanted to say that no matter which one of us gets the position, there's no hard feelings.
Of course not.
I think we could be good friends. And I think you're all right. Not got any Scottish friends.
Novelty shared.
We'll see you at dinner.
Where are you going?
To haggle a ticket.
For what?
Feynman. He's giving the Landon lecture at the Clarendon tonight.
Is he?
Yes. Tickets are like gold dust, sold out months ago.
Then how are you getting in?
Well, my father and the Vice-Chancellor are at Sandhurst together.
What's the lecture in?
Quantum electro something, totally over the top of my head.
Then why are you going? Why go if you're not going to understand what he says?
It's not about understanding it, Scotty. It's about being in the room.
Why?
To be seen. No one gets anywhere just by having good ideas. Everyone has good ideas. But the man who gets to the top is the right kind of person to have those good ideas. Even Feynman.
Pretty sure he got by on brains alone.
That friend is naive.
Right. Well, we've got a riddle to solve. I think I'm the right kind of person to go to the library.
You don't know the answer?
Do you?
It's obvious. See you at dinner.
Can I borrow that book?
What?
Your book. Can I have it?
I need it for my work.
For your work?
Yes.
Well, are you going to be quick?
Only just started.
Then can I sit here and wait till you're done?
Shh.
I'll just read it over your shoulder.
Rather you didn't.
Ugh, tough. Move over.
Are you reading physics, then?
You think I loiter here for fun?
Well, that book's not.
Well, I can read physics whilst enjoying a little Steinbeck, thank you.
Where are you from?
Why?
Just asking.
I can't tell you.
Sorry?
I can't tell you.
Well, you sound sort of American, so I'll guess there.
I'll tell you. But you gotta promise to keep it just between you and me.
Okay.
I'm from the future.
You're from the future?
Yep. But I'm stuck here in 1963. My time machine broke, but I didn't make it, so I don't know how to fix it. So I'm studying physics.
So you can get home.
Exactly.
So when were you born?
I'm born in about 10 years' time.
10 years?
That's right. In fact, I'm born in 1974.
How did you end up here?
In the future, when I became a woman, I worked with this crazy old scientist back home in California. He's closing in on 50 years old, and he's lonely. He's all alone. Anyway, one day at the end of some experiment or other, I get to asking him whether he's ever been in love. And he says that he was once, but he did a bad thing, which he regrets. And the girl of his dreams just slipped through his fingers. Since then, he's not been able to think of anyone else. And he's lived a long and miserable, lonely life, which is just about to end.
What bad thing did he do?
I'm getting there. So, this 50-year-old scientist, he spent his whole life working towards building this time machine. But when it was finished, he was too old to go back. So he sends me. And he says, I want you to go back and find me and stop me before I do the terrible thing. And so I ask him, where will I find you? And he says, I'll be this spotty little English guy sitting in the Bodleian Library reading all the physics books, and I wish that I had given that girl those books when she came and asked.
Very clever.
It's good, huh?
I'm Scottish, not English.
Oh, damn it!
What's your name?
Samantha Amelia Gilligan.
Hi, I'm Harold Peter Weller.
Did you solve the riddle?
Yes. I've got an idea. Did you get your ticket?
By the skin of my teeth. You all right?
Fine. Why?
You seem a bit pale.
Do I?
You barely touched your food.
I'm fine. Have you ever asked anyone out?
Like a girl?
Yes, a girl.
A few times.
How?
Just asked. Very straightforward. You met someone?
Well, I don't know if she'd be interested. I mean, I doubt she would, but you never know, so...
Where?
In the library.
Hmm.
This Californian girl came over and asked for my physics textbooks, and no word of a lie, but I'm telling you, she was the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my whole entire life.
So you liked her then?
Just came, sat next to me in the bod. We chatted for a few minutes. Then she got up, walked off, and I literally couldn't talk.
It was lucky you were in the library. She's reading physics.
Outside chance, she's studying literature. She had a Steinbeck novel with her, Canary Row. I would have asked more, but I dried up. Just got no idea how you're meant to ask.
Well, next time you see her, just do.
Do what?
Just be yourself.
You're lucky. People like you, confidence.
Come on.
It just leaks out.
Find out what college she's in and just ask. See you tomorrow.
Bye.
We are at the very beginning of time for the human race. It is not unreasonable that we grapple with problems. There are tens of thousands of years in the future. Our responsibility is to do what we can, learn what we can, improve the solutions and pass them on. It is our responsibility to leave the men of the future a free hand. In the impetuous youth of humanity, we can make grave errors that can stunt our growth for a long time. This we will do if we say we have...
Wishaw or Weller?
Wishaw, sir.
How's the riddle?
I've got it cracked, I think.
Very good. Have you met Professor Feynman?
No, but I'd very much like to.
Come.
Dick?
Julian.
Dick, I want to introduce you to one of my students. This is...
What's your first name again?
Michael Wishaw, sir.
Hello, Michael.
I really enjoyed your lecture.
Oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
Have you been to Oxford before?
Oh yeah. But not as much as I'd like. Plus, you can't escape my country, man, hard as you try. This is Samantha. She's a Rhodes Scholar.
Really? Where have you come from?
California.
Very good. Dick, I wanted to pick you up on one of the points you made with reference to the suburb.
Did he say Samantha?
That's me.
You know Feynman, do you?
No. Well, my old professor at Caltech knows him, tried to bring us together.
Isn't he a touch old?
Not romantically. My old professor wanted me to hook him up with some Mary Jane. Apparently Feynman likes to partake.
Oh, and did you?
Scored an eighth of a guy in my quad in exchange for me doing his freshman year paper.
You're a physicist?
Am now. Did math at Caltech, but now straight astrophysics.
Don't suppose you can tell me the difference between the two?
Why?
My tutor sent me a riddle.
Oh, the light bulb test.
You know it.
You work it out?
Oh, I think so. What did you get?
Oh, not so fast.
Where are you from in California?
Salinas.
Ah, Steinbeck country.
Mm-hmm. You read him?
Of course. Steinbeck is the greatest living American author. I'm a big fan. Mm,
which one's your favorite?
I'd say Cannery Row.
Well, that's my favorite.
What are the chances?
Well, it was nice meeting you.
Likewise. Charmed.
Look, if you like reading that stuff, I run a gathering of sorts where we smoke a little and kind of read poetry and people sing songs. It's pretty low-key, but if you'd like to come, do.
Should I bring something to read?
Anything you like, apart from the Beatles. I can't stand another person coming along and butchering my heroes.
No Beatles.
And bring some friends. It's fun.
I will.
Details are on the JCR notice board. See you there?
Great.
Okay.
So who would like to go first?
I'm happy to.
Go ahead.
And what's your answer?
1.5.
1.5?
Yes. You're in the room with 3 switches. You cannot see the light bulbs to which the switches are attached, just as you know that you cannot return once you have left the switch room. So the answer is simple. You can only know for certain that one of the switches is associated with one of the light bulbs. For the other two, there is a 50% chance. So the answer is 1.5.
Mm-hmm. And how about you?
You can tell all 3.
Can you?
You turn the first switch on. You leave the second switch off. But with the 3rd switch, you turn it on, wait for 2 minutes, then turn it off. You go into the 2nd room, and you know that the light which is on corresponds to the 1st switch. And of the 2 that are off, the cold bulb is the 2nd switch, and the warm bulb is the 3rd.
And there, gents, is the difference between physics and mathematics. The former is just the latter with added heat. Congratulations, Mr. Weller. You'll be my assistant.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, pal.
How did you work it out?
Well, after you went off, I took another bite of my dinner, and it was cold, so light bulbs get hot.
Eureka.
Exactly.
It's an elegant solution.
No hard feelings, eh?
Of course not. Do you know you'll be going first?
Some meeting Grimshaw's doing in Belgium.
The Solvay Conference.
In about a month?
Yes. They're every 3 years. It's a big thing.
Oppenheimer's given it.
I know.
Something about the evolution of galaxies.
Oh, I'd love to meet him.
More interested in what he's going to say.
And that too. It looks like all your stars are aligning at once. Bet that girl you like will be there.
Samantha?
Yeah, I think I might have met her at the Clarendon. She's reading astrophysics, so you're in the same galaxy.
Did you tell her about me?
There wasn't a lot of time.
Then what did you talk about?
I didn't really talk to her for long. She did say she runs a gathering, some music and poetry night we could go to.
I hate poetry.
Well, maybe you could make an exception for one night.
You think?
You have to work at some things, Harry. She's not just going to fall into your lap.
This Solvay thing didn't just fall into my lap.
I never said it did.
That's the tone in your voice.
I'm just saying it's lucky your food got cold.
And I'm just saying the harder you work, the luckier you get. Let's put it behind us and move on.
Fine.
No hard feelings.
No.
Right. So how do I get this girl's attention?
Can you play the guitar?
I remove my epaulette tabs. I'm not a soldier here. I walk past and I wonder. Were they facing this way or that? Do I look forward or back? I slide by, slung low and non-linear. Hiroshima. Hiroshima. Hiroshima.
That was beautiful. Thank you, Bruce. Bruce Gordon, everyone. Okay, so next up is someone new. Please make him feel very welcome. It's Harry Weller.
Break a leg, Harry.
Hi, everyone. I thought I'd play a song I like.
Right on, man.
Yeah.
Hi. Hi, Samantha.
Yeah. Hiya, Henry.
Harry.
Harry. You're a big hit.
This is my friend, Michael. We met at the Feynman lecture.
We did. Thank you both for coming.
A pleasure.
Really?
Yes. I've always been a supporter of avant-garde poetry.
Sarcasm's not lost on all of us, okay?
I'm deadly serious.
You can't sling it past me.
Would you like to have a drink with us? I've reserved the table.
Sure.
After you.
Thank you.
So, you're from the future.
No, you've been talking about me, Harry.
No, of course not.
Oh, don't be bashful. Yeah,
so when you get your time machine fixed, where's the first place you'll go?
Apart from back home?
Yes.
Well, that's a great question, Mike. I'd go stop the fire in the Great Library of Alexandria. Imagine where we'd be now if all that hadn't been lost.
I'd go forwards. If you've got a time machine, why bother with things already done?
You might want to go back to earlier this evening and practice a little more.
You didn't like it.
Harry, you were virtuosic.
Well, if you go forwards, how far forwards?
100 years. I want to know what the world looks like in the 21st century. See if all the work we're doing now was worth it.
Hmm. And where would you go?
I'd stay exactly where I am.
You could go anywhere, forwards or backwards, throughout the whole of time, and you'd still live now?
Of course. I don't know anyone in the past or future. And from where I'm sitting, the view's pretty good.
Well, can we meet the rest of the gang?
Sure.
I'm going to have a cigarette.
May I borrow your matches? Isn't she good fun?
You notice?
I can see why you like her. Total knockout. You all right?
Perfect.
What?
Nothing.
Look, you don't have to be embarrassed.
I'm not.
Well, hold your head up. You went for it. That's the main thing.
Don't patronize me.
You're not exactly Frankie Valli.
You said you would help.
I am.
From where I'm sitting, the view's pretty good.
That's not help. It's sabotage.
It's teasing.
It's claim jumping.
It's what? Wishoff's. I've only known you a few days, Michael Wishoff, but it's plain as day you're an unpleasant sod. You just swan about, riding on the coattails of others. An intellectual goal-hanger.
Rubbish!
You are, hanging about, looking the part, without any skill of your own, waiting for others to trip so you can sweep in and claim the glory for yourself. Well, if that's what she wants, then you're welcome to each other.
Well, maybe it's not a bad idea for you to know your limits.
And what limits are those?
She's out of your league.
And she's in yours?
On current evidence, I'd say so.
Well, thanks for lending me your guitar. Here!
What?
Best of luck, Michael.
Yeah. Best of luck to you, too.
Hey.
Hey.
I'll take your bag.
Thanks. Well, hold on a sec. Dad? Dad!
Sorry.
I gotta go now.
Hey, Eli.
Hey, Mr. Weller.
Honey, you got your passport?
You asked me that like a zillion times.
Call me when you arrive.
And that'll cost a fortune.
Then email.
Okay.
I love you, my little time machine.
I love you, too.
So, which terminal is it?
2, I think. Professor Weller?
Just a minute, please.
Not got time for an old friend.
Samantha!
You know, I said it in college, and I say it now. That boy, Harry Weller, will make professor before any of us. And what is it? 18 months?
More like 2 years. What are you doing here, Sam?
I was in the area, you know? Thought I'd pop by.
In the area? It's 1,000 miles.
Well, I fancied a little climbing and heard Chamonix's great for it.
It is.
You been?
Not me, no. One of the engineers. You find a lot of the people here are crazy about the mountains. Adventurous types.
Not you.
Oh, I would. But I'm terrified of heights. It's so nice to see you, Sam. Really is. You didn't say...
I wanted to surprise you.
You succeeded.
Working on anything good?
Like you would not believe. I can give you a tour.
I'd like that.
Have you Michael with you?
He went ahead and met friends. I thought I'd stop in on you.
Well, that's a lovely thing to do. Thank you. Give me an hour to finish a few things up, and then I'm all yours. I'll give you a tour of the facilities, and then we can have a drink in the Moon Bar.
The Moon Bar?
Well, officially it's called the CERN Buttery, but we nicknamed it the Moon Bar because it's got no atmosphere.
Well, I'll see you in an hour.
Beautiful.
We call her Isolde, which is a much more attractive name than what she really is. The Online Isotope Mass Separator.
How old is she?
2 years, just about. She churns out radioactive nuclei beautifully. Pretty useful. How's the big stuff?
It's coming along, dreaming up ideas for new telescopes.
Found a higher mountain.
Better than that. Got a job in a think tank trying to work out how to get over the atmospheric problems. And the answer, it turns out, is to literally get over the atmospheric problems by sticking the telescopes in orbit.
That's never going to happen.
Never is a long time. They'll be on the moon next year, I bet.
Well, what did he say? By the end of the decade?
Still 2 years left.
There's an engineer here who hopes they won't go. Keeps writing letters to NASA asking them to stop. He's a Nepalese chap. Says that where he's from, they believe that when you die, your soul leaves your body and travels to the moon. And that the moonlight is your ancestors' way of showing you out of the darkness when you're lost. He's scared that when they land, they'll find it's just rock and dust.
I guess one man's discovery is another man's loss.
Think you might go over and work on that?
There's opportunity there, maybe. I do miss home.
Well, I'm sure Michael would like California.
I'm sure he would.
How is he?
He's not great. He's not... getting the opportunities that he deserves.
That he deserves or that he thinks he deserves?
He needs a break, Harry.
Is he still at Imperial?
He is, but it's a case of dead man's shoes there, and everyone's too healthy.
Does he know what he wants to do?
He wants to be where the exciting work is.
And he thinks that's here?
It clearly is.
I'm not a mover and shaker.
Everyone's read your papers. Your ideas are world class.
I'm very junior.
But a good word would count. You could do that? There's a position here. Some guy's leaving to go to Fermilab, and his slot's being advertised. It's an assistant professorship, but I know Michael could do it. You are respected here. I know it, because talk of your name carries even 1,000 miles, so...
Why isn't Michael asking for this?
Because he's too proud. I know he comes across as confident, but the truth is, he's as fragile as you could imagine. I don't know what came between you two, but if you scrape the bravado aside, he's a good guy. So, reach out. For me?
Ah, good morning, Dr. Vischer. My name is Gerhard Hauptmann. I'm head of operations here.
Hello.
Welcome to CERN.
Thank you.
Have you been before?
I came to hear a QED lecture a few years ago.
Mm. Is that a particular interest?
It is.
Huh. Oh, before we begin, let me introduce the panel. To my far right, Professor Emeritus Ibrahim of Heidelberg.
Hello.
This is Dr. Scherhoff of Göttingen University.
Good morning.
And to my left, Professor...
Weller.
Ah, you know one another?
We were undergraduates together at Oxford.
Oh, really?
Yes. We studied physics together under Malcolm Grimshaw.
Huh.
How are you doing, Harry?
Nice to see you, Michael.
Very good. Shall we begin?
Fire away.
I need that job, Harry.
It's up to Professor Hauptmann.
But was he making positive sounds?
He thought you gave good answers.
I was hoping they might ask the lightbulb riddle. Might get it right this time.
I'm sure you would.
Having your support means the world to me. Thank you.
That's fine.
No. Thank you, Harry. Look, drink up. I'll buy you another beer.
Sure. It was nice to see Sam.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Listen to that.
What?
Listen. Isn't that your favourite song?
Christ.
You can laugh about it now. Come
Maybe.
On.
Maybe.
Come on.
Mortify. You know, I saw a documentary about Freud the other day, and it was saying that he thought there was a kind of time travel in grief. That grief doesn't happen when you experience it, it only happens when you remember it. And I'll tell you what, that's absolutely true with this song. Every time I hear it, I feel that absolute embarrassment, fresh as you like.
Well, cheers to that.
Good health.
So, you seeing anyone?
No. I had a brief dalliance with a girl in the engineering unit, but we couldn't make it work.
Oh, well, that's ironic.
Suppose it is. Not really got much time for that side of life. You think Sam will like it out here?
Expect she'll stay in London.
Oh. You'd be all right with the long distance?
Wouldn't have to be.
Look, you're gonna get the job.
No, okay? I mean, we've gone our separate ways. We broke up.
When?
About a month ago.
Jesus, Mike.
Well, she didn't say?
No, she didn't say.
Well, we're over.
Why?
I wasn't entirely faithful to her.
Who?
Someone I work with, one of my colleagues. It's all rather awkward.
No wonder you wanted to leave.
I don't think I don't regret it.
Christ, Mike!
Where are you going?
I just vouched for your character.
And I'm grateful.
In front of people I respect.
But wait a second.
More fool me.
Huh?
Selfish prick.
I need that job, Harry.
Hello?
Hello, Samantha.
Harry?
Did I wake you?
I was resting with my eyes closed.
Why didn't you tell me?
I wanted you to give him a fair shot.
I can't understand why you'd want to help him.
He's got a good mind, and I don't want to see it go to waste. Are you still there?
Yeah. You said you didn't know what came between us.
When?
When you were here, you asked me what had come between me and Michael. Well, it was you. You came and sat down next to me in the bod, and I... You knocked me sideways. And I told him about you, and he set me up for a fall.
I thought you didn't like me.
How could you possibly think that?
Well, you never came back into the pub that night.
I think you are impossibly brilliant. I should have asked you out before he got anywhere close.
It's not too late.
It's 1,000 miles.
Then I'd better start driving.
Boarding pass? Huh?
Just the boarding pass.
Oh, sorry.
Where are you traveling to?
London.
Are you flying alone today?
Yes.
And did you pack your bag yourself?
I did.
Put the disc man through the scanner, too.
Oh, sorry. You got it working yet, Mike?
Well, this is about. Picture keeps going in and out. But better?
No, move it to the right. Perfect. Now just stand there.
But I can't see the set.
Oh, come on, Mike. The picture's so clear for the rest of us.
Look, give it here. Oh. How's that?
Perfect. Now turn it up and come sit.
Are they there yet?
30 seconds. Right.
Closer.
Contact light. Okay, engine stop.
Yes!
Whoa.
We copy it down, Eagle.
Holy hell, they've done it.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility, we copy on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thank
you want to grab the champagne, Michael? It's in the fridge.
Yes, champagne!
Can you see the moon out of the window?
Clear as a bell.
Doesn't look like they found your friend's ancestors up there.
Shall we tell them?
Now's as good a time as any.
Guys, Sam and I have some news we'd like to share. Is Michael back through?
Right here.
Good. Well, we didn't invite you here just to watch this historic moon landing. We also wanted to share the news that this morning I asked Samantha to marry me and she said yes. And that's not just it. Also, after we are married, we'll both be leaving Geneva. Sam has been offered an astrophysics job at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory and I've been offered the position on the linear accelerator at Stanford. Great. So, this is a celebration. And also a goodbye. So, let's drink!
Wondered where you've gone.
Can't kick the habit.
How about one for me?
I thought you'd given up.
One's all right. Now and then.
Congratulations to you both.
Thanks. Are you all right?
Me? Yeah, fine. Fine.
Sorry I didn't tell you before.
What, about you leaving or getting hitched?
Marriage. Well, both.
Who am I going to steal ideas off without you here?
I'm sure you'll do just fine.
I can see why you think I'd feel odd, but you really don't need to think that. I'm happy for you both.
Thank you. I better see if anyone needs a refill.
Me for starters.
You want to come back in?
I'll finish this.
Sure. Thanks.
Jusqu'à la mort nous sépare.
Jusque l'amour nous sépare.
Je vous déclare mari et femme. Vous pouvez embrasser la mariée.
She's the love of my life. I knew it the moment I first met her.
Shut up, Harry.
So, thank you all for coming, and drink up, because there's a lot left.
If you don't mind, I thought I'd say a few words too. I'm Michael. I'm the third wheel when it comes to Harry and Sam. I wanted to just stand and say a few words about love, which is tricky because as a physicist, I'm more comfortable with numbers than words, and I'm certainly no authority on love at all. What public speaking I do make tends to be at dry conferences where the subjects discussed revolve around the hearts of atoms rather than the hearts of men and women, but there are some similarities. Ours is a subject where our sole pursuit is to understand what stuff it is that we are made of and what forces of attraction are present that keep us bonded together. It is the study of matter and time. I've often asked myself what it is that makes Sam so very luminous. Yes, she is beautiful. And yes, she is very, very funny. But above all, she is this. She is here now. Now that might sound trivial, but it is not. She is present. There's so many of us, me included, spend time in the future. Our thinking is always, what will happen next? And how will I get to there from here? You know, there are questions that they drag us out of the now and they place our minds in the months and years to come. And what suffers, of course, is that we do not pay attention to the present and the people who offer us their special attention. Harry's the very same. Yes, sometimes I find him a little too dour for my own liking, but in truth, his generosity of focus, his spirit and attention make him equally present and joyful. They are a perfect fit. So, today, two of the brightest friends I have are fused together. And as with all fusions together, they will change, become something else, and give off an almost immeasurable happy energy in the process. I guess that's what this is today. A joyful, bright union of souls. So, yeah, I wish you two bright futures. I really do. Come rain, come shine. Sam and Harry, everyone.
Sam and Harry!
Thanks. Thanks for those words.
Pleasure. I hope you didn't mind.
No.
When are you off?
Fly out of Paris tomorrow morning.
To San Francisco, is it?
Paris to London. London to Boston. Boston to Denver. Denver to San Francisco.
Oh, rather you than me. Actually, that's a lie. I'd love to go.
You're doing really well here, Mike.
I hope so.
You're getting good results.
Could do with a more powerful machine.
In time.
You're going to have a ball at Slack.
Here, she's a beauty.
20 giga electron volts.
Yep.
You'll see God's stitching.
I bought you a gift.
Did you?
Here. It's a copy of Steinbeck's Canary Row. Got to say, Sam swore you told her you'd read it, but...
Yes, that was a bit of a fib.
Well, enjoy it. should give you a good picture of where we're going.
Thank you.
Take care.
Goodbye.
Hello? I think my entertainment machine's playing up. Can you reset it?
What were you watching?
The Matrix.
Tell you what, we're pretty quiet. How about I move you up to premium economy?
Would you?
Sure. The seats are better and all the screens work.
Oh, thank you. How many hours left in London?
6 or 7. You should try and get some sleep.
I'll try.
Take 27B.
Thanks a lot.
Sure thing.
KCSW9 is pushing 8 a.m. West Coast, so time for the news. More widespread protests are expected across Northern California today, as many react angrily about what they perceive as President Nixon's failure to de-escalate American involvement in North Vietnam. This morning, reports of U.S. Air Force bombing of Cambodia continue coming in as the administration pledged American support of the Cambodian government as part of Operation Freedom Deal.
How long?
A month. Look.
A month?
Black and white.
I told you this would happen.
Not a realistic possibility.
You married me, Harry. Green cards see you just the same.
They specifically said I'd be downgraded.
No, they said Stanford had a good relationship with the draft board.
Of specific scientific interest to the United States.
Well, this says that ain't an option, so what are you gonna do? Let's go back.
Where?
Europe, London, whatever.
No.
They'd have you back at CERN. They bent over themselves to keep you.
I'd be arrested at the airport.
Then let's drive to Canada. Fly from there.
No.
Mariana's got a car and relatives up there. Let's go now.
Don't be silly.
I'm not.
I can't leave my team here.
Of course you can.
They've invested too much in me.
They'd understand.
About dodging the draft? Not sure they would. People have strong feelings about this stuff.
Yeah, both ways.
I can't run.
A lot of scientists have conscientious objection. There's a strong precedent.
I'm not going to do that.
Why not? You wouldn't get any time.
Because I'm not a quitter.
It's not quitting. It's staying strong to your personal morality.
Well, I'm not sure I share those morals.
Oh, come on. You're not considering going.
What if I am?
Of all the people I know,
You said it. I marry you. I'm an American now, just as much as the next man.
You marry an American, suddenly you're not a quitter? Sure be quitting me.
I'm not neglecting my responsibility.
Why not?
Because it's not what a man does.
Say that again.
My father went to war. My grandfather went to war.
It's totally different.
Different how?
I don't know. It was on the doorstep.
They went so they could come back and look their townsfolk in the eye.
Well, you can look me in the eye at any time.
But not myself.
I have never in my whole life heard you have any kind of pride in that.
I've got great pride in them.
And who'd be what? A United States Marine? It's your joke, Harry. You're a lanky streak of piss.
I'd be officer class. Intelligence, probably.
Harry, you're out in hives if the air conditioning drops half a degree. It's a jungle over there.
I'd make do.
I don't see why you can't just go back to Europe.
Because I'd never be allowed back in.
So? I don't give a damn. I'd go too.
And it's not just you I'd lose.
Oh. You're a piece of work, you know?
Excuse me?
You should have more respect for your old man. His old man.
Sorry?
To treat a piece of history like that as a means to your end, rather than as an end in itself. You don't give a rat's ass about your moral responsibility, or your responsibility to me, or this country. You only care about losing access to your machine.
That's ridiculous.
You don't go, or you run, and they'll take your machine away.
Complete nonsense.
Do me a favor just this once and look me in the eye. Admit it's the machine.
That is a gross oversimplification.
You've been spending every hour that God gives you in there. Admit it's the machine. And when you're not at work, you're locked in your office.
We are so close. So close to seeing what's really there.
It's just a machine.
It's not just a machine. It's important work. If I don't finish it, someone else will.
You really think that's worth it?
Yes.
It's been 3 years, Dr. Vigeau.
Yes, I very much enjoyed them. Oh.
What would you say have been your strongest contributions?
I think my work on scaling was strong. Certainly the consequences of that research has led the way in this subject over the last 18 months.
Oh, that is true.
So that, I'd say that was my strongest contribution thus far.
Hmm. And what would you say have been your strongest contributions without Harry Weller?
I'm sorry?
As a soloist. Harry has been gone for a year now, and we'd like to appraise your work since he left.
I feel strongly that my work on radiation has been exemplary. Certainly that work has led to a considerable output of papers.
The size of that output is considerable, yet we are not convinced of its quality.
I'm sorry to hear that. How can I better that?
Without intending to be indelicate, we're not sure that you can.
Of course I can.
Just as we are in search of the limits of nature, one must also respect one's own natural limits. We fear you may have found yours.
Well, if it's a paper, I can rewrite it.
It's not a question of that.
I was under a lot of pressure. The results weren't categorical. Perhaps I overstepped...
It's an issue of original thinking, and we feel you have, unfortunately, overreached yourself.
Then why did you give me the job?
I don't think you want me to answer that question.
Well, I do.
You have 6 months, Dr. Vigeau, after which time your contract with CERN will not be renewed.
Thank you.
It's my mother's recipe. Sugar and lemons.
Delicious.
So what's up?
How's the work at JPL?
Slowing down, you know.
I hear that craft they have up there right now is going to be the last of them.
Yep. Last 3 Apollos are canceled, so 17 and that's done.
Well, why is that?
They didn't get the viewing figures.
Oh, too bad.
We're next.
Mars?
Perhaps. Forgive me, fellas, but it strikes me you two aren't here to talk about Martians.
No. Mrs. Weller, we need to see what your husband was working on.
When?
Before he left.
Didn't you all spend every day at the machine together?
Yeah, but he was pretty guarded about his thoughts on the collected data. We don't have a full picture.
So what do you need to see?
What did he bring home?
I don't understand.
He had a book. A red notebook that he kept on him at all times. We were hoping we might be able to read that.
Is it at his office?
No.
You've been through his office?
Yes.
Mrs. Weller...
I didn't take his name.
Samantha, is that notebook here?
I'm not so sure.
Think hard.
I mean, I'm not so sure he'd want you digging through his stuff.
There were two things you need to know here. One, Harry was a complete original. And two, we need to move fast.
Was? He's not dead, fellas. He's just a long way off.
Okay, well, the condition's the same. The war's dragging its heels. He could be a long time out there. We think he had a red notebook in which he was writing down the math that explained the results we're seeing at the accelerator.
And we need a... We'd like to see that notebook as soon as possible, because we don't want to get scooped.
Scooped?
There are other teams elsewhere who are getting close to the same ideas, and we want to make sure we have the discovery first.
And by we mean Harry, too.
Front and center.
I'll tell you what. I'll take a look and see what I find.
Would you mind if we took a look?
I most certainly would. You don't come into my house and tell me what you can and can't poke around.
Very well. Then at your earliest convenience.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day.
Good day.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will shortly be arriving into London Heathrow.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will shortly be landing at San Francisco International.
Now's a good time to put your watches 8 hours forward.
Now's a great time to set your watches 8 hours back.
Local time is 8:36 a.m.
Local time is 8:36 p.m.
For those on the right-hand side of the aircraft, there's a good view of the newly finished Millennium Dome. Well worth a look if you've time on your hands.
For those on the left-hand side, there's a great view of the Golden Gate.
And may I take this moment to ask you to turn off all electronic devices for landing, including mobile telephones.
And I should remind you that it's no smoking for landing, so if you're a smoker, may I ask you to finish your cigarette.
Thank you for flying British Airways.
Thank you for flying Pan Am.
We are pleased to announce the arrival of Pan Am Flight 276.
It's a great view of the bridge coming over. What a perfect sunset.
Well, you better get used to him. Dying a dozen around here. Well, this is us. Chuck your stuff in the back seat.
Bloody hell!
She goes like licorice through a goose, so hold tight. Welcome to America! This is what they were after.
What's in it?
I don't know.
You haven't read it?
I have, but I can't. I mean, I could read it, but the quantum side of the fence treats the math like it was a different language from the astro stuff. I've no grip on it.
Oh, Harry's a much better mathematician than me.
But you know the way around his head better than anyone.
What do his colleagues say?
They haven't read it either. He was suspicious of them. Before he left, he told me they'd come hunting. It's more cutthroat out here. Not such a sense of fair play. Everyone keeps their cards close. They're right at the edge here. I mean, from all I knew of what you guys were doing at CERN, that was exciting, but this machine punches deeper. When he left, he was convinced he was on the verge of something big. But he made me promise to keep it hidden away till he was back. But we haven't got time.
For what?
I don't know. I really don't know. And maybe it's nothing, but those guys are turning up the heat to get their hands on his notebooks. So, you read them and tell me if they've got anything to say.
About what?
Some particle, some new meson.
And you trust me?
Of course I do. Bear in mind, Harry's going to come back knowing how to use a gun, so...
Of course.
Let's read them all and let me know where his head was.
There's more than one notebook.
There are 85 volumes.
Right.
They're in the loft. Might take you a while, but stay as long as it takes. How does it look?
To be honest, I'm not sure.
It's not clear?
It's just a lot to pick through. I mean, he has a brilliant mind, I'm sure of that.
Yeah. It's late. You should turn in.
Do you think I could talk to his colleagues at the accelerator? It'd help me make sense of a lot of it.
It's probably better you didn't.
He really doesn't trust them.
Not one bit. It's really either you or nothing.
Okay.
Just take your time.
Sure.
Hungry?
No. No, I think I'm fine.
Well, I can fix you something. It's no problem.
I'll help myself later.
Okay. I was thinking this weekend we might go up Mount Hamilton.
Yeah?
I've got telescope time Sunday night. If it's a clear sky, we could try to pick out the man on the moon.
Do I get to go in that car again?
Of course. It's a hell of a drive through the mountains.
Do I get to drive it?
Of course not.
Well, that sounds like a nice plan.
Thank you for doing this.
It's a pleasure.
Catch you in the morning, then?
Good night.
I think you might slow down a touch.
Relax.
I'm relaxed.
Sure you are.
I just don't like sitting on this side without a wheel.
You mean without a brake?
And that.
I want to get there before sunset. See that building up there to your left?
Yes.
That's the Lick. So, which Which galaxy do you want to see first?
I wouldn't know where to start.
How old are you?
29.
Remind me what month you were born.
June.
And we are September, so... Okay. You see that machine?
Uh-huh.
I want you to punch in the following numbers. You ready?
Yes.
05.
Mm-hmm.
44.5. Negative 22. 26. Read that back.
05. Mm-hmm. 44.5. Mm-hmm. Negative 22. 26.
Hit go.
Christ!
Just a sec, and... Okay, sit here. And press your eye up against this.
Okay.
Beautiful, huh?
What am I looking at?
That star is romantically called Gamma Leporis. What do you think?
That's beautiful.
The light that's coming to you now started its journey the moment you were born.
Gosh.
29.3 light years. That light's been coming this way for 29 years, 4 months. Just as old as you are.
It's more beautiful than me.
That's not hard.
Is that light happening now or then?
Then. In fact, that star could explode right now and we wouldn't see it until the end of this century. You smoke?
Are you allowed to in here?
Not really, but the heavens are open and you're the only other person within 50 miles, so as long as you don't tell...
Okay.
Here.
Thank you.
Takes a second and a half for the moonlight to reach us. And that one there, that one that doesn't flicker, Venus. Right now, she takes a whole 4 minutes. The sun, 8 minutes. And of those other stars, all that light's been coming this way for thousands, maybe millions of years. Some before the Earth was even born. History is a property of light. Easy. I don't know if that's beautiful or tragic.
Of course it's beautiful.
Say you find some radio message broadcast from that star, you'll never be able to talk back.
Oh, why not?
A lifetime would have passed before you'd ever catch a reply. You'd always be alone.
Oh, is that so bad?
What's the point of being with someone if you're never in touch?
You two talk.
He pulls apart the smallest things at work. He pulls apart the smallest things at home. He's married to his studies. Not me. It's lonely. It's a lonely life ahead.
You don't know that.
Of course I do. I've got a time machine, remember?
I thought it was broken.
Well, I fixed it.
Well, where did you go?
Ahead. I went ahead and I saw your future.
And where was I?
You were with me.
I'm gonna love you like no one's loved you. Come rain or come shine.
KCSW9, it's pushing 7:30 a.m. on the West Coast, so time for the news. With several other countries withdrawing many of their forces, pressure is mounting on the administration to withdraw U.S. troops from Vietnam. So far reduced to 196,000, President Nixon is expected to say today that he hopes to withdraw another 45,000 troops. Troops, he hopes, he says, will be home for Christmas, or at least to usher in 1973.
It was just one of those things.
Wake up.
What?
Wake up! What's this damn article in Physical Review Letters? I have just had every one of Harry's colleagues come strip aside off.
What?
We've been scooped. By you! Team at CERN discovers categorical proof of quarks. And then, first in line, in a team led by Michael Wishaw. Talk me through that.
Oh, that's some...
Oh, what?
I don't know what to say.
Then answer this. When did you decide stealing your best friend's life's work was not backstabbing enough? Was that before or after you stole his wife?
Well, that's not all on me.
Get out of my husband's bed!
I didn't write the thing.
Then how come your name's at the top?
I just sent some of the guys at CERN a couple of figures.
A couple of figures?
No more than a page.
Well, what is it more than a couple of figures? A couple of figures is the whole goddamn discovery.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no,
I didn't know that's what the figures were. I needed help understanding them, so...
Oh, don't cover it by rolling in glitter.
I didn't ask them to publish.
Not understanding the value of what you stole doesn't mean you didn't break into the house, Michael. It just makes you ignorant. Someday soon, he's going to come back, and he'll know precisely what you've done.
Well, then he'll know what you've done, too.
Get out.
This weekend, there are planned engineering works.
Excuse me. Does this line go to Edgware Road?
No. Change it to Piccadilly Circus for the Bakerloo line.
Thank you. Oh, at this train?
Yeah. Takes about an hour.
Oh, thanks.
Train pulling in now. Sprawl stations to Cockfosters. All stations to Cockfosters.
They're calling it the discovery of the decade. A team of scientists, led by British physicist Dr. Michael Wishaw, are one step closer to understanding the world as never before.
Can I just correct you there?
Of course.
It wasn't me who made the discovery. It was a team effort.
Elementary particle physics. Mean anything to you? Well, it soon will. British scientist Michael Wishaw is the face of modern physics. He joins us now, and like his discovery...
Dr. Wishaw.
He's charming.
The speculation that you're in line for the Nobel Prize.
But I'm a scientist. I prefer facts over speculation.
The mayor of Guildford handed the keys to the city to its most famous scientist, Michael Wishaw, in a service at the cathedral last night.
Where does he go from here?
1972, he is a nobody. 1973, he is on every magazine. Oh, what a difference 6 months make.
Yes.
You are very popular.
Yes, I suppose the ideas caught people's imagination.
Your idea.
The team's idea.
Sit down. Tell me how you found it.
It was in the data, sir.
All along?
Yes. We had collected all of the information, we just hadn't been looking at it correctly.
And how did you come to think to look at it in this way?
I don't know, sir.
Oh, there must have been a moment, an epiphany.
I suppose.
Do you remember the moment?
I was walking.
Walking?
Yes. Huh. I think better on my feet, and it... just came to me.
Oh, just like that.
Just like that.
If I may say, you don't seem very surprised.
Well, why should I?
Well, big ideas tend to move the soul.
Do they?
Some years ago, I had a theoretical physicist working here. He had been studying the same problem for 15 years. 15 years. And after that time, he made a discovery that changed his life. Shortly afterwards, I asked him to sit where you are seated now and explain to me the journey of his discovery. And he talked. He took me through the ins and outs, the gains and mistakes, the intricacies and incremental steps that he had made to lead him on. And as he reached the point in the story where he finally made his discovery, he just stopped. Stopped speaking. And cried. He sat there, where you are now, sobbing. And when he had regained some composure, I asked him, "Why are you crying?" And he simply replied, "Because I knew at that moment that I would never have a better idea in my life." I knew at that moment that I would never have a better idea. Here was a man aware in the very moment that he had reached the peak of his life. He found even in recollection that moved him to tears. If I may say, you don't seem very moved.
Well, maybe I've got better ideas to come.
I do not fully understand how you could have made such rapid progress. Oh, but my understanding is not particularly important. What is important is that you consider using what new muscle you have built to pull in our favor.
But why should I? You never pulled in mine. I could go anywhere. I've got offers coming out of my ears.
What's to stop you is, I believe, your conscience.
My conscience is clear.
Assistant Professor Wischer, there are corners here into which I would rather not shine a light. For the sake of your soul, I recommend using what pull you have to create opportunities for others.
And how do you propose I do that?
We need a new collider. The one we have is not powerful enough to investigate the consequences of your new discovery. To do it, we'll need money. British money.
The committee calls upon Dr. Michael Wishaw. Welcome, sir, and congratulations on your recent success. A great success for Britain.
Thank you.
This matter of a Large Hadron Collider, what is it?
Well, it is a large tunnel ring of magnets around which hadrons, a class of subatomic particle, would be streamed in opposing directions at velocities very close to the speed of light. On collision, they would give up all their tremendous energy to allow us to glimpse conditions last seen in the first second of the Big Bang, which can then solidify into new and as yet undiscovered physics.
And this ring is in Switzerland?
And France.
Which?
Both.
This ring is in Switzerland and France?
Yes, sir.
How big is it?
27 kilometres in circumference. It would replace the machine currently occupying the tunnel there. It would require no new digging.
Why must it be so large?
Well, as charged particles are guided around the ring, they unavoidably radiate away energy, which slows them down. But less so if the turn is gradual. The faster we push them, the more energy is wasted, up to a point where as much energy is lost as we put in. The machine we hope to replace currently accelerates lighter lepton particles, but by switching to heavier hadrons, we can raise this ceiling on collision energy.
So you reached its limits?
Yes. And if we want to explore the consequences of my British success, we will need to build a more powerful machine. Only then will we be able to revisit the very beginnings of the universe and expose what holds it together.
And when would this machine be finished?
Well, design work would finish this decade, construction the next, so sometime before the end of the millennium.
Decades?
It is a long-term undertaking.
May I ask a very basic question of you, Dr. Wishaw? Isn't this a newfound celebrity you have the consequence of discoveries you have already made? What else is there to find?
I found proof of some of the smallest pieces of matter. But that's not enough. We have strong theoretical suspicions of a massive particle, just out of range of our current machine, and its discovery or non-discovery would bring us one step closer to a full understanding of God's original stitching. To have your commitment to that project, well, that would be a legacy I'd like to leave.
Hello?
Michael? Michael?
Harry? You're back.
What time is it there?
Four a.m.
I woke you.
No, it's okay. Are you all right?
Sam's dead.
What?
Samantha's dead. Samantha's dead. That's what I'm calling to say. Nothing else.
How?
She came off the road. On the way down from the lake.
When?
This evening.
Christ. Are you all right?
Sir? Do you have a ticket for the Pan Am flight to Los Angeles?
Yes.
I'm about to close the gate.
Okay.
Sir, if you'd like to board the flight, I'll need you to do so now.
Okay.
Do you understand?
Of course I do. I just want to sit here for a minute.
Have you been drinking, sir?
Yes. How many hours behind is Los Angeles?
8 hours.
Are they in the past, or are we in the future?
We are ahead of them.
That's not what I'm asking.
I'm sorry, sir, then what are you asking?
Where's the now?
I don't wish to be indelicate, but I need to either put you on the aircraft or not. And if not, I need to organise for your bags to come off.
I don't have any bags.
Bags in the hold, sir.
No bags.
You were planning on travelling to Los Angeles with no bags and no hand luggage.
It's the suit on my back and this.
I'm going to close the gate. Pan Am flight 64 to Los Angeles International, gate 12B, is now closed.
Who are you talking to?
I'm sorry?
Who is the message for? I'm the only one here.
It's my job. I have to.
What's your name?
Rosemary.
Hello, Rosemary.
Are you all right, sir?
Not great, truth be told.
Why were you going to Los Angeles?
I was thinking about going to a funeral.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I didn't know where it was. I just knew it was tomorrow.
Is there someone you'd like me to call?
I've no one to call.
I need to go to my next gate.
Okay.
Can I call you a taxi?
I think I'll just sit here for a while.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 1974 Clarendon Lecture. Newton, Einstein and Feynman have two things in common. The first common ground is obvious. They are the thinkers whose ideas have transformed the way we see the world. The second, less common, but they are the only physicists who have stood here on this spot to address the Clarendon. It gives me great pleasure to welcome a fourth name to that illustrious list. And if I may shower myself in praise here, I am proud to say that I taught this man whilst he was an undergraduate at Christchurch. That I thought he was the less competent of the two physicists under my tutelage just goes to show what inexorably terrible judgment I have. Ladies and gentlemen, the speaker for the 1974 Clarendon Lecture is Dr. Michael Wishaw.
I was sitting right there when Feynman spoke. Right there. You, in the red top. He liked to smoke a little Mary Jane. I was sitting where you are, and I listened to him talk about the responsibility of ideas. To learn what we can, improve upon the ideas of the past, and pass them on to those that come next. He talked about the arrogance of the intellect, the dangers of thinking you know it all, the dangers of certainty.
I plan to use this lofty position to tell you Feynman was wrong. I'm going to embrace my intellectual arrogance and tell you of a certainty I know. And that certainty is this. Time machines will never exist. Never in the near infinite time that stretches out ahead of us. It will never happen. Why? I know this because terrible things happen. In your lives, terrible things will happen to the good people you love, and the most rotten souls who perpetrate those sins will never be punished. And worse still, they will be praised and allowed to prosper. If time machines existed, would you not step inside, come back to now, and prevent those horrors from happening? Of course you would.
Here he is. Michael?
Yes?
Michael, congratulations on the speech.
It was certainly unusual. I want to introduce you to one of my students. This is... what's your name again?
Buckland, sir. Arthur Buckland.
Hello.
I really enjoyed your lecture.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Ah, I must catch Dr. Martineau before he leaves. If you'll excuse me for a moment.
I won the Wishaw Prize for Science.
Sorry?
At school. Sherborne. You went to Sherborne?
Yes.
There's a prize in your honour for the most promising scientist.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I was hoping that when I graduate, I might be able to come and assist you.
No. Oh. Best you make your own way.
Okay. Well, nice to meet you.
Oh, and Buckley.
Sir?
The answer's all three. When he asks, just remember, light bulbs get hot.
Now you know how it feels to embarrass yourself in front of a crowd.
I didn't see you.
Hard to get a ticket, but I seem to know a few people these days. Managed to squeeze me in at the back there. Tickets are like gold dust. Newton, Einstein, Feynman. Doubt your name will belong to that list for long.
I wouldn't be so sure.
You have to work at some things, Michael. They don't just fall into your lap.
It seems like they do.
Everybody knows the idea's not yours.
Well, not what I read in the papers.
Then nobody who's thinking you value.
How was the funeral?
What do you care?
I wanted to be there.
So you could show everyone how unhappy you were.
So that I could pay my respects.
And what respect is that?
I'm not motivated entirely by self-interest, Harry.
Could have fooled me.
Then why aren't you speaking out?
About what?
About your idea. About what a thief I am.
It's the idea that matters, not who said it.
But everyone wants recognition.
Not if it gets in the way of the work.
In the way of the work. And there you are. That's how she felt. In the way of your work.
Nonsense.
He pulls apart the smallest things at work. He pulls apart the smallest things at home. That's what she said. He only wants me for the machine. She was lonely.
So wasn't it fortunate that you were the right kind of person to comfort her?
You wanted the work more than her.
And you only wanted her because you couldn't have her. no difference between her or my idea. You wanted both because you didn't and couldn't have them yourself. You're driven more by what you don't have rather than what you do.
And so are you.
But at least I was honest about it.
With her?
With myself. I don't need to pull your temple down, Michael. You're already doing it.
Can I help you?
This is St. Mark's?
Yeah.
I'm looking for Michael Wishaw. I think he's a science teacher here.
Are you a parent?
No. Oh. Sorry, just give me a sec. Hey, I said I'd email you. Well, it feels like you're chasing. That's okay. I will email. I gotta go. Sorry.
Is he expecting you?
No. He's an old family friend.
I think he's teaching the year eights at the moment in the science block. If you wait till 8:30, he'll break for lunch. Catch him then.
Okay, thanks.
We are at the very beginning of time for the human race. It is not unreasonable that we grapple with problems. There are tens of thousands of years in the future. Our responsibility is to do what we can, learn what we can, improve the solutions and pass them on. It is our responsibility.
It just feels like it should be weirder or something.
It feels unusual from here.
And I came at you with nothing.
How do you mean?
I mean, I've had time to think about this. You haven't. I hope you don't mind me just showing up.
No.
Are you a good teacher?
I do my best. It's a good day if the children stay awake.
That's a high watermark. You don't feel a little overqualified?
How do you mean?
I bet there's not a lot of school science teachers with doctorates in elementary particle theory.
I feel it's a good fit. There's nothing better than watching someone experience an idea for the first time.
How long have you been here?
Nearly 26 years.
I'm 27.
Is Harry still alive?
Totally. He doesn't look as old as you, though.
She used to tell me that time moves slower in California.
He didn't tell me that he wasn't my real dad. Not until I was 21. After that, it was up to me to find you.
You look just like her.
Do I?
You're very beautiful, and you seem very mature, very level-headed about this.
I've had a lot of therapy. You might want to look into that.
Not for me.
Shock doesn't hurt you when it happens. It gets you when you remember it. As soon as the coffee's cold, it's gonna rip your heart out.
Do you have any memory of her?
None. But I like to think there are echoes of her knocking around.
Where?
In freshman year, Math 101 was compulsory, and every prelims got long reading lists, you know? Costs a fortune. I asked Dad, well, I asked Harry for the cash, and he takes a look at the list and strikes a bunch off. Tells me all the stuff like Euclid's elements haven't changed for 2,500 years, so I don't need to go buy new copies. I can just use Mom's. And I'm sitting in the Davidson Library reading through it, and I have a thought that I want to write down in the margin. I turn the page and find that she's already written it there. So, if you wanted evidence of everyday time machines, there it is. Harry says I am one.
It does feel like she's sitting before me. Will you tell him that you've met me?
I haven't decided.
But he knows you're in London?
Mm-hmm. He does.
How long will you stay?
I haven't decided.
What's your name?
Flora. Flora Samantha Weller.
Hello. Hello.
In Everyday Time Machines, Michael was played by Sam Troughton, Samantha by Pippa Bennett-Warner, and Harry by Stephen Robertson. Hauptmann was Mark Edelhunt, Grimshaw, David Acton, Feynman, Sean Mason, Rosemary, Jane Slavin, and the teacher was Rosalind Hill. Everyday Time Machines was written by Al Smith and directed by Sally Avens.
And Everyday Time Machines was first broadcast here on Radio 3 in 2014. Well, in 1953, Orson Welles read Walt Whitman's poem Song of Myself for the BBC third programme. And in next week's Drama on 3, you can hear Welles reading again, interwoven with readings of the poem from a cast of present-day actors, including Michael Sheen, Clark Peters and Eleanor Bron. That's at the same time at 9 o'clock next Sunday evening.
This week on BBC Radio 3, the London Symphony Orchestra is conducted by its next music director, Sir Simon Rattle. They're performing music by two composers united in their devotion to the Catholic faith, but wildly divergent musically. Messiaen's Couleur de la Cité Céleste is inspired by the Book of Revelation, and it's followed by Bruckner's huge and dramatic Eighth Symphony. Join us live in concert from London's Barbican Hall, here on BBC Radio 3 on Thursday evening at 7:30.
This Sunday night on BBC Radio 3, it's now 28 minutes to 11. Time for Early Music Late. And this week, Simon Hayes is on the prowl.
By now it's dark outside. The curtains are drawn and the night is about to envelop us. The magic of the nocturnal hours and the comforts of sleep have long fascinated composers. One of the earliest and most atmospheric depictions of the night takes us back to early 18th century Venice, where the dark concealed all manner of veiled threats, real and imagined. And we'll hear more than one disturbing bump in the night in Vivaldi's famous recorder concerto La Notte, as the uncanny stillness of the opening is suddenly broken by the scary scuttlings of spectres and spooks. And Vivaldi really does write the direction phantasmi, ghosts, into his score, followed a little later by the optimistic heading Il Sonno, sleep. But it's a troubled slumber based on the sleeping drunkards movement in the